Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 6th, 159th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills.
Good morning.
Good morning, morning, morning. You're looking rested.
I was in last week in Sacramento meeting with our legislators all week and the other chiefs of police discussing issues around the state.
Oh, I see.
Maybe that was restful.
Well, perhaps in comparison. That'll be one of the things we get an update on. Also, we got the container camp. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've got spring happening, or I guess... No, it's foggy outside, so it's summer.
Summer in Humboldt.
And all other things. It's been a couple months. We'll do a catch-up show when we come back. Okay, we're back. I forgot. It was the old form. Format. What can I... How's all that...
We got until 19, right?
Yeah. All right. Did you find a quote?
No.
Oh,
okay. Wasn't looking.
Well, the book's open. You're just trying to appear intelligent?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Epitaphs. That's what you opened it to.
could be my epitaph.
Oh, okay. Here's one written around 1815 by Chevalier Stanislaus de Beauvais.
I would suggest a French guy. Read that.
My friends believe that I sleep.
Speaking of rested, huh?
Yeah. How do you judge success with the actions that the city is taking with homeless in the last, 6 weeks? Yeah. I guess it's been 6 weeks now. Mm-hmm. How do you know if it's working? What milestones or measurement bars are you using?
I think there's, for me, there are several measurement bars. One is, how are we treating people? What are we doing with the people who are homeless? So we've, working with DHHS and Betty and many others, have sent a lot of people to their homes where they had someone to receive them. We think that's a good thing because people need help. We've also housed...
Is that a forced fit?
No.
Most of the families are...
I talked to a lot of parents who drove up here from wherever they were from to pick up their child out of the marsh and help them load their stuff in their car and take them home.
Are these... teenagers, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40s?
20s and 30s mostly is okay. What I saw. And then we also housed a great deal of people. You're working with DHHS and Betty and MIST and you Measure Z funding that the county has allowed us to have. That, to me, is significant when we treat people right and then that reduces the size of the problem, which is the second milestone. The scope and the size of the problem has shrunk. So we were at 180 the month before we went into the marsh, and we were doing a census out there that we were pretty comfortable with. And we had officers taking a full day, talking to each person, documenting who they talked to, giving them flyers, telling them we are going to come on May 2nd to move people out and documenting it. And so we went from 180 down to, I think it was 113 a couple weeks before we went into the marsh. And along the way, many people were getting housed and many people getting sent home and some just leaving on their own, not wanting the inevitable conflict. And then by the time we actually...
And now we're too late. You just talk too much, man.
What would we do?
You don't tease real well, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay. We'll find out the current status of what's going on when we come back. KINS News and Information Time is 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chief Mills. Go.
Well, I thought I would tease you for a while.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, that's what it was. Wink, wink. Yeah, okay.
Oh, then the third one, I think, is watching the crime stats and see what happens to that. So moving people away from the mall, I would hope that it increases traffic there. I've talked to literally hundreds of people who say and read, and I've read it also in the paper and online, that we're going to the mall. It's so nice to go there and to shop and spend money. And we're not seeing as many calls for service there at this point. So we're going to keep an eye on that to see what happens, the trending, and make sure it doesn't go up somewhere else.
Yeah, I was thinking Old Town would be the one that
would be old. So we're very concerned about that. And what we've done to mitigate that is we put an Old Town officer back in there, Corey Cernich, who's just doing a fabulous job.
Driving, walking, biking?
Walking, okay. Walking and driving, but mostly walking. And I can't tell you what a great job he's doing from a compassionate level, but also an enforcement level. And then we still have our MIST team in place, as well as I'm paying overtime for officers on their days off to come in and help in the Old Town area, as well as we're also now working with Park and Rec and the city manager's office to hire a security guard just to stay focused in one area, commercial and C, to make sure that we're controlling the problems there.
A 24-hour?
It won't be 24 hours a day. It's during the times when it's most heavy traffic.
Is that whole experiment, did it just kind of come from a textbook, come from somebody's warped mind? Is it modeled after something that has longevity?
It'll be interesting to see as we look at data over the upcoming year, 6 months to a year and beyond, if this is portable elsewhere. In other words, can somebody else pick this up and say, okay, here's a good game plan, we're going to implement it?
Well, Southern Humboldt would be a logical one in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not just the police side of it. It's the whole enchilada. And we've gotten a lot of kudos from people. But I want to be real clear, it wasn't just the police department. It was all of city services. I mean, from the city manager's office to Park and Rec to all the way down, it was a lot of people involved in this thing. And
Now, when we think of government, oftentimes we don't think of coordination.
Correct. I got that. Yeah.
How was this one special?
You know, it was a cathartic process. I don't want to kid anybody. There were a lot of diverse opinions, and we have a very strong group of leaders who sometimes mashed it up pretty good. And, people are going toe-to-toe and nose-to-nose saying, this is not the right way to do it. Or, yes, it is. And here's why. And, I mean, but I think that's what I want of government. That's what I want of our leaders, is people to have these tough conversations behind closed doors and then go out there and march lockstep together, taking care of business in a very thoughtful way. And I think that's exactly what happened.
So as you look at this long-term.
Yeah.
Okay, you got October. Okay, who knows what's going to happen in October. Is this a systemic change?
I hope.
Is this how business is now going to be conducted?
I hope.
Do you need to have some sort of, okay, to use that fine phrase that government likes to use, transitional housing, going to remain, you like that, I know, remain intact, or some semblance of what it is that exists now for those, rather than allowing them to stay in the green belts or on private property or city property or county property that is within the area?
Well, you know, I don't want people to think that there's, you know, it was just, okay, May 2nd, everybody's done now. Let's go back to the business as it was. I mean, we're still meeting with council members. There's a leadership group in place that is council member Adkins and council member Cherubellini with Connie Beck. And Director Beck, City Manager, Rob Holmland, myself, and some others meeting regularly trying to figure out, okay, how do we maintain this? What's the path forward? How do we get housing in place? And, you know, it's, again, what I spoke with Senator McGuire about yesterday. He said, Andy, you know, what's the game plan? How do we move forward? And we explained some of this to him, but he's very interested in watching and wants to help with the resource side of it. So, I think this is a great push. This has been a problem going on for 30 years or more. And now I think that we've got a good momentum, and now we want to sustain that momentum as long as we possibly can.
Is it sustainable economically for your department, for the city, to maintain this allocation of people and resources for an extended period? Give it 2.5-3 years so that there really is a cultural change in the area.
I don't know that there's an option. I mean, we, you know, you rise to the occasion. You do what needs to get done. And yeah, it's tough stuff for our officers. I mean, to, you know, they would much rather focus on the big stuff, but you get focused on this pretty frequently.
Well, there doesn't seem like one occurs in a vacuum from the other.
No, oftentimes they're related, aren't they?
Oh, that's what I understand, sir. Yeah.
How do you know that so well?
Well, you know, I was counting up the number of chiefs during the length of this show. I think there's been 8 or 9 chiefs, and it's consistent. I mean, it's just been an ongoing. I mean, you mentioned a couple of decades. I'm thinking, this goes back to probably the late 70s when the marijuana really started taking off.
But, you know, this last week when I sit on the board for Cal Chiefs and we go around the room by region.
Now you're teasing
for the next
section. The next segment. Good job.
I'll hold off on that then.
Congratulations, sir. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. He's... The old dog's got new tricks. We'll be back.
I learned quickly.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. Ah, the urban tales that happened during the commercial breaks.
Non-repeatable.
No. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Andy, the updates of what's been going on is kind of cool, but you were also talking about on a statewide basis that you get everybody all together. Are there commonalities?
Yeah, so here's the story. I sit on the board, and there's a bunch of chiefs sitting around the table who represent every region in the state, and we go around the horn and talk about what's the big issue, what are the big issues in each of our areas. The number one issue in every single area in the state, homelessness, followed by heroin. And there are some other ancillary ones for each jurisdiction, but those were the big issues all over the state. And so it's not just Eureka, it's not just Humboldt, it's everywhere.
It is surprising that there would be that consistency.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if you said water quality, okay, that makes kind of sense. Air quality, I mean, things that really are ubiquitous. But something like that doesn't have to be in every place.
That's right.
That's weird.
Well, I think it's mental health. It's drug addiction that maybe may lead to mental health problems. And, you know, the interesting thing to me as I watch this presidential election, which without getting political, because I really don't care which side it is, not heard one candidate in a substantive way discuss the issue of homelessness, the issue of mental health. And on the ground level, for at least law enforcement, those are the number one issues.
Mental health, do you have many tools in that toolbox to work with folks?
That's a pretty skimpy toolbox. And, and now we have young officers who are expected to go deal with problems that a room full of PhDs in a controlled environment can't fix. And so how do you expect a patrol officer who was 24 and a half years old and all that great experience behind him or her to solve these problems? It's a tough deal.
As you look at the mental health issue from the law enforcement interaction, is it money? Is it judicial determination? What is it that has caused things to get to the state of affairs that it is, or just lack of personal responsibility?
You hit them all. You know, I don't know that I can parse them apart, but I think it started with the removal of many of the state institutions that were once available. whether it was for legitimate reasons or just a financial issue. I'm not really sure. But all I know is there are very few beds available for people with substantial problems. Now, some of it's personal responsibility. They go and get whacked out on bath salts or methamphetamine and act out, get naked and jump on a car, and we have to go and deal with that. We get that, and we're going to respond to those. Or whether it's just truly, there's an increase in mental health problems, all over the nation for whatever reason. I don't necessarily understand all that reasoning.
It was interesting when you said homelessness and heroin were the two across the board.
Yeah.
Not meth. So has meth taken a back seat?
I think so.
To these, or is it going out of fad, I guess would be the word.
Well, I don't know if it's going out of fad, but we're seeing a gigantic upswing in the amount of heroin being seized statewide.
Is that the barter drug for marijuana?
Could be. It's certainly, most of these don't operate independent of one another. Whether they're trading green dope for black dope, heroin, or whether they're trading green dope for meth, or using the profits to, either way.
So as you step back now and you look and you see what the state is doing, you see what you're doing here locally, the successes and the frustrations, are you excited about the future? Positively?
I'm hopeful for the future because I think that we have such good momentum as a county working together, and I honestly do see the county working with us as full partners in this thing. That I'm very hopeful that we can get further down the road in making this a more livable place.
Do you see your buddies in Arcata and Fortuna and Ferndale and the other city jurisdictions also jumping on board, so it truly is a unified Humboldt County?
Well, certainly every city has its own need for – thanks for that grenade its own need to do the things that they have to do to protect their cities. But we meet regularly with those other chiefs in those other cities and work as harmoniously as we possibly can to make sure that we're all on the same page. But I checked when we were doing our eviction process out of the marsh, or our expulsion from the marsh. I checked with the sheriff, checked with Arcata, checked with Fortuna on a regular basis. And please, if you're seeing displacement, you gotta let me know. And to this point, we have not seen substantial displacement to other cities.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills. Andy, as you look at some of the different challenges statewide and locally, we got summertime coming up. Obviously, for many of us in the agriculture business, this is a time when we see a lot of new folks here,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the strawberry fields or the cow fields or the marijuana fields. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of new folks coming up. Are you holding your breath? Are you monitoring? Are you being aggressive about how can local law enforcement not get to the point where now this is the backfill season, and all the guys that you've done a great job getting rid of, now they've got, the AAA club is coming up.
Well, it certainly is a concern. And as we looked at the information that we collected over the past year, we recognized that a certain percentage of them have come here for agricultural activities to trim. And so we took out an advertisement in Craigslist. Trimmers needed. And over 100 people in the first weekend got a hold of us and said that they'd like to come to Humboldt to trim. And so we had them send us a picture and then sent them a very nice email back with a letter saying, please don't come to Humboldt for illegal purposes because we are actively investigating that. And it was an interesting response from people. Some of them said, I had no idea of all these problems. Others said,
did you do their homework? And
it's my constitutional right to trim. And I said, you know, I somehow missed that in the Constitution, that that you have this right to trim. And but I think that if we are able to keep a certain percentage of people away from our county who are here for illegal purposes and then wind up getting stuck here, then I think we've been successful in that area. Now, the bigger picture is a little bit tougher, and we'll have to kind of figure out how to do that.
Well, just ask me off air. I got a couple ideas for you.
You know, one of the things that that happened last year is a guy named Hillbilly died of a unnatural causes out in the marsh. I had talked to Hillbilly maybe the week before. He had come here to trim and got stuck because he got stiffed by some growers and was waiting for the next season to make money to get back out of here. And a long story short, he wound up passing away. And there's an example of what it's costing us as a community and him as a person. Long story short, we think it's worthwhile to get people to not come here if they're coming here for ignoble purposes.
Are you getting any pushback on this?
There's a couple of people that don't like it, but I don't care.
It doesn't sound like it's a critical mass or anything like that.
No.
To be worried about. How's the anti-panhandling working out? We see it. I've had comments that it almost feels like a normal city now. Okay, that's certainly a step in the right direction.
Well, that's kind of like saying you're wearing an interesting dress.
You like it?
I think it's going fantastic.
I think the low cut on you personally is rather attractive.
I think it's going swimmingly well for a summer parlance there. I don't see hardly any panhandlers. There's a couple occasionally, and officers are on top of them, citing them when it's illegal. You can still panhandle in our city. You just can't do it in locations that are unsafe.
And the clustering seems to have been broken up as well.
It has. I mean, I would drive through the city, and I would count panhandlers from one end to the other. It would be, 10 to 20, sometimes 30. And then I drove now 10, 15 times, counting none. That's a substantial change.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet, man.
And the last couple months of effort. See you tomorrow morning.